I'm Hart Glass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me. I am in the Progressive Radio Network studio today. I'm actually pre-recording this program, and you'll hear it on Tuesday, January 15th, or whenever you decide to listen to it. And I thank you for that. We're going to be talking a bit about lifestyle medicine today. And I want to bring on my first guest, who actually has come into the studio all the way from Missouri. We're both talking today because we're going to attend a screening later this evening of a documentary called Code Blue. And you may remember I talked about that documentary over a year ago when I interviewed Dr. Saray Stancic, and it's actually completed now, this project, and we're all very excited to see it. It's a private screening tonight, and then the documentary will be available for all of you to see, and I know it's going to be wonderful, but we'll talk more about that after I see it. Right now, I want to bring on Dr. Oruwari, like February,
yes.
Because she's in the film, and that's why she's here. She's part of Mercy Clinic and is a surgical oncologist. She's a board certified by the American Board of Surgery and attended New Jersey Medical School, had a residency at University of Medicine and Dentistry, New Jersey, and a fellowship at Hasbro Hospital. Mercy Clinic is a multi-specialty physician-led group affiliated with Mercy Hospitals in St. Louis, Washington, Missouri, and Crystal City, Missouri. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back in New York City.
Yeah. So your specialty is?
I'm a breast cancer surgeon.
Breast cancer surgeon.
Yes.
Now, why did you want to be a breast cancer surgeon?
Ooh, million-dollar question. Life kind of led me this way. You know, I went into medical school wanting to be a gynecologist. Mm. And somewhere along that path, I decided I did not like gynecology. I really loved being in the operating room and doing surgery. And then I had to make a decision what type of surgeon I wanted to be. And I met a woman who did breast surgery for a living, St. Barnabas Hospital in New Jersey. You know, I kind of shadowed her for a while, and I realized that this is really, really what I want to do. Mm. I get to help women, so do some women's health, and get to do surgery. So kind of mixed up the two.
Well, I think we certainly want surgeons who are passionate about what they do. And it always fascinates me. I ask any doctor that I go to, mm-hmm. for example, I recently had a colonoscopy. I didn't want to have one, but after 11 years, my primary care physician said, you know, come on, you got to do it. And I did it. And then I asked the gastroenterologist, I asked her, why did you want to be? I mean, basically, I wanted to say, why do you want to do colonoscopy?
Right.
But she was like so excited yeah. about what it was she was involved with. Mm-hmm. And that's what matters, actually.
For sure. That is what matters.
But breast cancer surgery is a scary thing for women that are going through it. Cancer is that big C word, is the scary message you get sometimes.
It is.
I had ovarian cancer.
Okay, it's, so you're familiar then,
I've been
yes.
through, I've been yes. there and back. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of your practice that isn't surgery related, like some of the prescriptions you might fill are related to food, are they not?
Well, it's not necessarily prescriptions.
Not a prescription.
Right. More of what we teach the patients and tell them to do. You know, we all know that breast cancer is one of the leading causes of cancer-related death amongst women. And we are finding out more and more that a lot of what causes breast cancer has to do with our lifestyle choices, what we're eating, how we're moving. So, you know, I've known this for a while, but I never really incorporated that into my practice until Dr. Stancic started doing more and more mm-hmm. with lifestyle medicine and preventative medicine. And it really got me to thinking a lot about, you know, what are these women putting in their bodies? What are we all putting in our bodies and how are we moving? And did a lot more reading and search on it. And it's also intermingled and related. So, yes, you can say I prescribe movement and healthy eating to my patients.
Okay. I did not know that Dr. Stancic was your inspiration.
She is.
So let's talk about how that happened. Were you working with her or how did you meet her and how did you?
Dr. Stancic and I went to medical school together.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
So we've known each other for many, many, many years, have been friends for many years. And some of what drove her to do her research and go into production for the film is personal, which I'm sure she'll talk about. So I will mm-hmm. talk about that for her.
You know,
her.
We can. Actually, I've interviewed her.
Okay.
So if my listeners have been listening for over a year, she had multiple sclerosis.
She did.
So you knew her
of
when
course.
That was going on.
That was, she was the maid of honor in my wedding.
Oh.
And this happened a week after my wedding. I was still on my honeymoon when I came home to see she had been admitted into the hospital.
Mm.
So this has been kind of a battle she's been going through for the past 20-plus years. And to finally have it lead her to her true calling,
mm-hmm.
her path in life is amazing. And to see how she's influenced so many of us physicians who were not used to thinking in that way is really, really pretty special. So I have her to thank for that.
It's always fascinating how something that appears to be really terrible can bring so much good.
For sure.
And not only did it bring her true calling, but she got her life back.
She did. She did. Amazingly. I mean, if anybody does not believe that food and exercise or diet and exercise has a lot to do with our health, they should just listen to her story, watch mm-hmm. the film.
Okay, so you witnessed all of this happening, and then you incorporated it into your own practice.
I did. And there's no true prescription that I can write to a patient and say, do this, do that. You know, a lot of it is choice. All I can do is educate my patients and say, this is really important. You know, you need to eat this, that. You need to move a certain number of times a week. It's going to decrease your risk of the breast cancer recurring. And some people do accept that message and make a total lifestyle change, and some people don't. But, you know, all I can do is, as part of being a physician, you know, when you're sworn to be a doctor, you swear to do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
So part of my message is educating to do no harm, to try to improve the quality of lives of people that I treat.
I think we're trying to reach some sort of tipping point in our culture where it's really understood that nutrition and lifestyle, exercise, plant foods, and eliminating the foods that don't get us good health. I think we're reaching this understanding, and then the masses will kind of go with it. But it's important to have the medical doctors on board, or at least a handful of them.
For sure.
I know that I mentioned earlier I have been through advanced ovarian cancer, and right. I had to search for doctors mm-hmm. that were somewhat on the same path as I
right.
was. I ended up going to chemotherapy at the Block Center outside of
in
Illinois. And Dr. Block promotes a plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lovely going to his clinic,
sure.
to go there where they had all the food. They had a little kitchen and all the foods that I was used to eating. I felt at home there. Whereas in so many other clinical settings, you don't find that. And some doctors will actually tell you you're crazy. So this is very good. Now, I've read that a large percentage of breast cancer can be prevented.
That is what a lot of the research tell us, that a lot of it actually has to do with, you know, all of these lifestyle modifications that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, a good amount of it can be changed. I mean, there are some percentage that can't be changed, mm-hmm. so genetic breast cancer, et cetera. But, yeah. A good amount of it, I think at least 30% or more of it can be preventable.
It's, I would imagine that for a patient to have you tell them this information, in some ways you're giving them some power. You're giving them some control over their own bodies.
I think I am. You know, whether or not they choose to take that control is
exactly
a whole other story.
Not everybody wants it.
No,
they just want the doctor. You to take care
right,
of it.
Just take care of it. Give me a pill. But sometimes it's not that easy.
Okay. So you were already practicing when you started incorporating this information. So what happened?
I mean, nothing has happened.
Have you seen any benefits as a result?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've seen a bit. Unfortunately for me, a lot of the women that come to me already have had breast cancer. So what we then talk about is ways to incorporate all these lifestyle changes to decrease the risk of recurrence, because the data is there that it does decrease the risk of recurrence. So a lot of women do take that to heart and make those changes that we talk about. And, you know, they come see me 5, 10, 15 years later and they're doing fine. So those are some of the changes I've seen. I've seen women who originally were overweight when I initially met them. They'll come back 2, 3 years later and they've lost a significant amount of weight. They are more active and they feel so much better. And that's, you know, ultimately what it's all about. And all of these don't only decrease your risk of breast cancer, it decreases the risk of so many other cancers and so many other diseases, you know, heart disease, diabetes, you know.
Yeah, you just read my mind. It was where I was going. Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. It's a win-win all around. Has this affected your personal life with what you and your family eat?
It has, for sure. So the full disclosure, I'm not vegan, but I'm probably 90%, I'll say, plant-based. I have not convinced my husband yet, because unfortunately for my husband, he's got a lot of allergies to fruits and vegetables, so there's not too much of that he can eat. So he still eats quite a bit of meat. My 18-year-old son was vegan for about a year and a half. Now he's mostly vegetarian. He just couldn't do without the dairy. But, I mean, he did this from 16 to about 17 and a half, which is huge for a young person. But, you know, he was, he's a very cerebral kid, and he read a lot about it, and he learned a lot on his own, and he would make his own meals. And, so it has definitely affected me personally. I'm all about living healthy and living your best life, and part of that is incorporating these lifestyle changes.
Now, what about where you work? Are they aware of what you're doing and what you're preaching, and how do they feel about it?
I haven't had anybody reprimand me, so I mean, I'm not telling patients to do holistic medicine or unapproved medical therapy. You know, just still going through chemo and doing the surgery and all of the standard of care type things that we recommend. So nothing that I'm recommending is out of the realm of what you would recommend to anyone who's been through any type of illness. So no, I have not been reprimanded, and I think, you know, a lot of physicians are headed that way in what they recommend to patients, because that's definitely a benefit.
Absolutely, especially if you're going through surgery. Mm-hmm. If you're on a healthy diet, you're going to do better in surgery.
Absolutely.
And if you do have to have chemo, you're going to have less side effects better if you are on a healthy diet. I know. I've been there.
Very true.
I had my surgeon. I didn't know I had ovarian cancer when I went in for my first surgery out of three. But my first surgeon, he, after surgery, and he took out this giant tumor. He said, "You're so clean inside. What are you doing?" Okay, so I had this tumor. But everything else was nice and pink and healthy.
Good.
And I know that's because of the food I was eating.
Right.
Okay, I had some toxic exposures and... Mm-hmm. I don't want to go into that right now, but I've talked about it way too much. but there's no reason not to eat a healthy plant-based diet. So are there specific foods that you recommend your patients eat?
Nothing specific. I don't like to limit people. I like people to kind of do their own research and make mm-hmm. their own choices. So I speak a lot in general terms, and I say the closer to plant-based you can get, the better. So incorporate a lot more fruits and vegetables. And something Dr. Stancic told me or taught me, she said, when you know you look at your dinner plate, it should be about 75% colorful. Mm-hmm. So you should have lots of nice greens and reds, because those are the plant-based. And if you still want to do the proteins and the meat, it should be just a little portion of that. So that's what I tell the women that I see to help guide them, because it is hard. It's hard to switch.
It's hard to change the mindset.
It is. It really is. So you can't go from being a meat-fed Missourian to plant-based overnight.
Some people can, but not everyone.
No, it's hard. I mean, even for me, it's hard. So I think it's little steps. And some people do achieve that eventually. Some people get to about 50, 60%. And that's way better than mm-hmm. 100% meat.
Now, in your hospital, there's a cafeteria?
Yes, there is.
And are there things to eat there?
I think there are. You probably wouldn't believe me if I told you that I have never stepped foot in the cafeteria at the hospital. Really, I've never stepped
foot. Well, you know, you're
there.
Probably very busy, but I would recommend that you do. And maybe if you find that it's not ideal, mm-hmm. you might connect them with
absolutely
some resources to make it better. Because it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a strange thing. You go into a hospital to get well, and for a long time now, it's changing slowly. Mm-hmm. But the food served there is poison.
Right.
Foods that cause cancer. They're giving to cancer patients.
We have a Burger King in our medical school in Newark.
Mm-hmm. That should be illegal.
And it's Dr. Stancic's lifelong goal to get rid of that Burger King. I think she's written to everyone, to the president of the hospital. And it's a money-making machine. It's all about.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That's what
so
it's all
what about that do no harm?
I know. I know. People forget that when money is involved, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about soy foods?
I have nothing against soy food, but I do counsel my patients that have been through breast cancer to be careful the amount of soy they consume, just because of a lot of the similarities to estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to limit the amount of soy if you've had breast cancer.
Yeah, I'm just curious because a lot of people have fears. Mm-hmm. I know someone whose doctor told her never have soy again. And there's actually a lot of research now that shows that women who consume soy mm-hmm. have lower risk and lower risk of recurrence.
Right.
And even the very conservative American Cancer Society mm-hmm. recommends eating. But, you know, we shouldn't eat too much of anything.
Exactly. So too much of anything is not good. I mean, I drink soy milk.
Mm-hmm. You know, as long as it's organic
right.
and minimally processed.
No data about organic versus non-organic as far
sure.
as the benefits, but I see where you're going with that.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, we don't promote genetically
yes.
modified mm-hmm. foods
right.
here, and not necessarily.
Right. No, I understand.
There's not enough data to know if GMOs mm-hmm. are safe or not,
right.
but there's so many other things that are wrong
right.
with GMOs, the way they the type of farming that they encourage, which mm-hmm. is so detrimental on the environment.
Absolutely.
This thing about health mm-hmm. and what we do with our bodies, not just for women and their breasts, but the whole body, it's connected to everything. What we eat is connected not only to our own health, but the health of the environment. Everything is connected.
Yes.
No matter how hard the medical system has tried to separate mm-hmm. and make specialties of everything,
right.
everything is all connected. Okay, so maybe the food could be better at your hospital, but
I'm sure. I'm sure it could be better. I'm sure it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. This is something I should look into. I haven't actually looked into that, but I'm sure you're 100% right. There's probably all sorts of things that are not good for our cardiac patients eating out of the cafeteria.
Well, it's frustrating when you're a patient,
mm-hmm.
And especially if you're a patient who is slightly aware of the importance of eating healthy. And maybe one of your patients has, you know, had surgery and you've right. told her to eat better, and then, you know, what's available in the sure. hospital, it's frustrating. Okay, so you, that's your assignment.
That's my assignment. Okay, I'm up to task, yes. I'll do
well,
that.
Well, you'll have copies of Code Blue, I guess, so you'll be able to distribute them.
Trust
to
me, I will.
That's awesome. When you were in medical school, did they teach anything about nutrition?
Of course not. Of course not.
Well, oh. And are you doing any of that in addition to your practice, doing any types of speaking on nutrition?
I am, actually. Probably for the past couple of years, all the talks I've given, because I do a lot of local talks to churches, women's groups, et cetera. The past couple mm-hmm. years has all been all about preventative health and lifestyle changes to help decrease your risk of breast cancer. So I'm definitely incorporating that into teaching.
Yeah, I think people are learning a little bit more that the how is as important as the why.
Yes.
Because some people will be told, you need to eat more plants, and they just don't know how.
They don't know how, right.
So you're probably aware that our Brooklyn Borough President, Eric Adams, has made plant-based education his number one priority, which
that's,
is so
that's
exciting.
That's fantastic.
And now Bellevue Hospital has this pilot program, so they're teaching people how.
Yes.
Which
right. That's really fantastic.
Is, I think, for many people essential. Yeah. Some people have a mindset. They know what they're mm-hmm. doing in the kitchen.
Right.
Okay, I'll less of this, more of this, and they're fine. But some
right.
people,
mm-hmm. right.
they just don't have it.
You know, the way I look at all this is similar to smoking. It took mm-hmm. the healthcare systems a long time to realize that yes, smoking is bad for us, and yes, doctors should not be smoking in the hospital. Patients should not be smoking in the hospital. What are we doing? This causes diseases.
Yeah.
I remember as a medical student, patients actually smoking in the rooms. I mean, mm-hmm. this was the norm, and then gradually you don't see that at all. I mean, now you hardly see people smoke at restaurants. So I think this is going to be
like
that,
that
same
it just
thing,
takes a long
where
time.
It
and
takes
all
a long
of a sudden,
time. All of a sudden, people kind of come on board and realize that, oh, what are we doing? You know, we need to be more plant-based. We need to get the fast food restaurants out of the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you mentioned before with the Burger King, though. There's that profit behind it. And a lot of people are making money.
Well, same with smoking, though.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
A lot of people are making
yeah.
money with the cigarettes,
yeah.
and they really fought anything that would help people stop.
Right.
And unfortunately, some people still smoke.
Some people still do. And you're not going to make everybody become plant-based.
And, you know, we have medical marijuana. We have marijuana now. And mm-hmm. I think Missouri's
yes.
getting open to allowing medical marijuana.
Yep, it passed at the last election, yes.
And which is interesting. I'm all for medical marijuana. But the thing is, I've noticed walking down the street in some places, I'm smelling pot.
Oh, really?
And I don't find it a pleasant smell, and I don't want to breathe it in,
no,
actually.
No,
so it's all, you do one good thing, and it opens
exactly.
up all these other
opens
challenges.
Up other things.
What about your colleagues at the hospital where you mm-hmm. work? They know what you're doing. Are they interested? Or
I think the way physicians practice is just a very individualized thing beyond the standard of care. Things that are not standard of care just really depends on your interest. And if they become interested, yes, I'll be more than happy to talk to them about it. But yeah, I think they are aware that I talk to a lot of my patients about diet and exercise, and that's my whole platform. You know, I'm on Instagram talking about it all the time, so that they are aware. I think.
Do they ever send you patients who are asking for information? I remember mm-mm. consulting at Memorial Sloan no. Kettering and talking to this oncologist, and I really didn't care for him at all. Mm-hmm. And then I was saying, but come on, let's talk about diet. And he
right.
really didn't think it had any influence
right.
on anything. And I said, okay, can I talk to somebody who, you know,
right.
does? And they had a whole other department. He said, well, okay, you can go and see this person.
Sure.
they don't think of Dr. Oruwari as the go talk to her about food.
No, we don't. We don't collaborate in that way. But we have nutritionists in the hospital that we do send out patients to. So,
and is is the nutritionist on board with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm. So are you looking forward to tonight?
I am. I am so excited. I'm so excited. She's worked so hard on this, and I know it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know how often you come to New York, but you were in school in New Jersey?
My family is all in New York and New Jersey.
So do you have any plans to eat anywhere wonderful while you're here?
I haven't even thought about it. I'm going to meet up with my sister when – actually, she's coming to the film with me, so I don't know what we're doing afterwards.
Okay. Well, right down the street is Beyond Sushi. Between 7th and 6th Avenue on 37th Street.
Okay.
It's vegan.
Okay.
And it's really fantastic. I just had soup there.
Did you? Okay. Oh, we'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's an experience. Okay, very good. Well, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to hear more about you and your story in the film tonight.
Thank you. I think I'll just a little snippet of the film. The film is way bigger than me. But I am so excited to be part of it.
I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. And my first guest has been Dr. Oruwari.